Pastor John. I actually knew of Pastor John before I met him. I went to school with his son, and I met his daughter because I knew her husband, who grew up in Bowmanville. So I had heard of him for a long time before we ever met. The first time we met was at the opening of Peace Tower Church in Ottawa on their very first Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Embassy West Hotel. Yeah, it was pretty great. It was a great service. We met then, and it was years again until we saw each other later, but we truly didn't connect until 2 years ago on the phone, and we spent a lot of time chatting with each other, but this is the first we've gotten to hang out in person, which is pretty great. It's kind of like when you meet a Facebook friend for the first time or something like that. So it is my honor and privilege to call up my friend and mentor, Pastor John Raymer, and Christine, would you like to come and say hello as well? Would you please welcome them this evening?
Everyone, and to celebrate 25 years, I think we've had 41 years of ministry, right? So this church is relatively young then for us for 25 years. Praise the Lord. You know, Holy Spirit's been really speaking to me lately. He directed me back to the book of 1 Corinthians and reading about the church and reading about the first church, right? And all of the writings of Paul and what he had to say to the church. And when I was reading through it, there's times when Holy Spirit just kind of grabs you, right? And he just says, okay, stop here and think. This is something you've missed in all of your readings. And in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12, it actually says that we're admonished by Paul to drink deeply of the Spirit of God. Isn't that good? Drink deeply. Drink deeply. You know, we rush, right? We rush through. We rush through our devotions. We rush through reading the Bible if we read the Bible at home. You know, we're on such a big rush with everything we do today in life. And you know what? He says to us, drink deeply of the Spirit of God. And that's what I believe this weekend is going to be. I believe this weekend is an opportunity. It's your opportunity. It's my opportunity to drink deeply. Go beyond the surface, get into the Spirit, receive from the Spirit of God, and drink deeply. Hallelujah. So, Father, tonight, in Jesus' name, I just believe that there are people here, there are men and women here, children here, young people here, who again need to drink deeply from your Spirit, Lord. Father, I just pray that there would be such a release, such a fresh release of the Spirit of God this weekend, that people will tap into what you have for them, what you have for this church, what you have for this community, Lord, but what you have for them, that you want to take them deeper and deeper and deeper into your Spirit, Lord. Something we've never experienced, a seeking, a hunger, a thirst to drink deeper of your Spirit. Each one of us commit tonight, Lord, we commit that this weekend is a weekend where we will drink deeper in Jesus' name. Bless your word, Lord. Let it have free course. Don't let anything happen, Lord, that will hinder it. Help our spirits to come alive in you, Lord, and to hear your voice and to drink deeper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, honey. Good evening, everyone. What? Wait, now. You're Canadians, and some of you are even above that, like Newfie. Come on. Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Okay, now I feel better. Amen. I'm a Maritimer, and Maritimers aren't afraid to greet one another. It's interesting. We just moved back, or are in the process of moving back to the Maritimes after 27 years. And, of course, my wife, first thing she wanted to do was to do a little shopping in Halifax. And so we went to Walmart, Wally's, and I'm sitting there waiting, as I do quite often. And some guys here know what that's all about. And there's an elderly lady, she was definitely, no, come on, be kind, all right? And she said, "Do you mind if I sit by you?" And so she sat down and she began to talk with me. And I tell you, by the end of about 15 minutes, I knew this lady intimately. She told me about her children, her grandchildren, her celebrations, her difficulties. And I mean, it was amazing. And when it was all said and done, she said, "Well, I'll see you again, maybe." She gets up, she makes her way, and I thought, okay, I'm back home. Ottawa is not like that. If you understand what I mean, it is not like that. We lived in a condo, and we would get in the elevator, and especially the young people that were raised on Danger Stranger, and they don't look at you, they don't say good morning, and if you engage them, you actually make them uncomfortable. But I made an intentional commitment to get them to just one achievement: good morning. That's all, just good morning. Well, I don't know if I achieved it or not, but anyway, so I'm just sitting there again waiting, and then another lady comes along. She said, "Do you mind if I sit here?" I said, "Oh no, please, have a seat, they're free." And she began to tell, I tell you, by the time 15 minutes went by, or about whatever it was, I knew about her sister, her twin sister. I knew their challenges. I knew how tight they were. I knew about their fight that day. I knew everything. And I thought, my Lord, I'm home. God is good. Amen. You know, I thank God for community. When I was younger, I didn't really value community. I really didn't. I used to have a model that it was God and me. And if I failed, it was me. And if I succeeded, it was God. But you know, that's not God's plan. God is committed to community. 25 years, community. Sure, in community, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But it's still community, because we need one another. That's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. There's something powerful when you walk in community with brothers and sisters and you come into agreement. And you're celebrating 25 years. Those of you that are part of this community, I think we have friends of this community and we have family of this community. And you understand the importance of community. 25 years. Now, I'm not really into numbers. I wouldn't say that I'm into numerology. But I just felt impressed that I needed to find out which anniversary it was. So I went on the website. And I found out that it was your 25th anniversary. Now, what's amazing is that the number 25 stands for grace upon grace. As 20 stands for redemption, and 5 stands for grace, and 5 times 5 is 25. Which is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. I began to search the scriptures. I wanted to know, like, I believe that they really got into the depth of the word and wanted to know what this number 25 is all about. The reality is, I was amazed. There are various events in the Bible that are symbolically tied to the number 25. You wouldn't believe how many kings of Israel were 25 when they became king. Hezekiah became king at 25. King Jehoshaphat reigned for 25 years, one of the great leaders. Ezekiel experienced his vision of the temple in the 25th year of his imprisonment. The books of Jude and Philemon possess only 25 verses each. And yet these verses have special significance related to forgiveness, mercy, and the cleansing and the rebirthing of the soul. Grace within grace is the idea that God's grace is bottomless and that it comes out from itself without end. Grace. Woo! I thought, you know, after 25 years, wouldn't it be amazing if there was an outpouring of grace upon grace upon grace on this community and on this region in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is phenomenal. It's amazing, as the hymn writer says. Grace. James chapter 4, verse 4 to 6 from the Message. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up being enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? Proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else than you'll ever find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud, and God gives grace to the willing humble. Ooh. Shikamamaruba city. Mie. We're living in interesting days. Sometimes I have to be reminded by the Spirit of God that when it's the darkest, that's when the revelation of the light comes. The reality is that we are not a Christian nation anymore. We were, at least in name. Being in Ottawa and seeing the scriptures forever engraved in stone, there were people that knew God that governed this nation. But whether you know it or not, the reality is that we are a secular, humanist nation. We're just about as far, far left as you can ever go. And the truth is, though, that God is not finished. My spirit is being stirred up to say, now you stop complaining. You know, those millennials that think that they're entitled to have a home and they don't have to go and work for it. You just stop complaining now, because you're positioned. Because God's up to something. 25 years. You know, look back enough, long enough to celebrate the good things, but don't look back too long before you see the ugly. But the truth is, after 25 years, I'm declaring on the authority of God's word that God is going to pour out His grace. Grace upon grace. For this is the season we live in. You know, it says of Noah in Genesis 6 and verse 8 that He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah was a patriarch, but he was not without his challenges. I mean, we won't wait and take any time, but if you search the scriptures, I mean, he had his challenges. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace in his eyes. Grace. Kindness, strength, favor. And amazingly, what God saw, he liked it. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When you find grace in the eyes of the Lord, you can do anything. You can do what's never been done. You don't go with the flow of the multitude. If you have to stand alone, when you find grace in the eyes of the Lord, you're never alone. You can do amazing things when you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, no wonder they mocked. No wonder they scorned. You're going to build an ark? How's that going to work in this barren land? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Joseph, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 39:3, and it says about his master who he served, that he saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did prosper. The heathen saw the grace of God on a young man. But it's not without testing. Key people will see the grace of God on you. God will make sure that there are people that are going to strengthen your hand for what God has called you to do. The reality is that some of us are in a season of testing. And we don't really like testing. It's difficult. But as I prepared my heart for this night and for this weekend, I began to search, and I realized that every time there's testing, it's confirmation that something good is on its way. That grace is going to be revealed in Jesus' name. That God is about to do something in Jesus' name. The reality is that the season of testing is designed for our success. God designs the difficulty for our success. Glory to God. Grace upon grace. Change orchestrated by God for your next season. I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God is going to pour his grace upon you and upon your families and upon your lives, because God is not finished yet. This is not time to check out. This is time to renew our checking in Jesus' name, because God is about to do something powerful. By the power of God, a new season is coming. Grace upon grace. Come on, I want you to say it with me. Grace upon grace. Glory to God. What was it that the Lord said to Zerubbabel to do in his hardship? He said, while you're laboring and you don't feel like you're achieving anything, what you got to do is you got to shout. What do you shout? Grace. And not just once. Grace. Grace. Glory to God. I tell you, sometimes you just got to shout so loud that your brain has got to stop manipulating you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, why don't we just try it two times? Grace! Grace! Romans 3:24. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us. All because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin in Jesus' name. I tell you, you got to get that in your spirit. Because we're walking around with weights that we were never intended to carry. Glory to God. Hebrews 4:16. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover his grace, which we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. The Passion Translation. I tell you something, Ramahasikate, as I was just praying and waiting on the Lord this afternoon, and we're just resting and having driven up from Ottawa, the presence of Jesus, the grace of God. Woo. 1 Peter 5:6-7. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, he will eventually exalt you as you leave timing in his hands. Pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. Look. I declare that there's a people rising up in this house and in this region that are going to walk in the grace of God in Jesus' name. 2 Peter 3:17-18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and forever. You know, Jesus, going back to Noah, I'm being reminded when Jesus admonishes his disciples, and he's telling them to watch and pray, and he wants us to have a little insight as to what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. And Jesus said it'll be like in the days of Noah. Now you can get stuck in all the bad stuff that was happening, or you could take from that that Jesus is saying on that generation who alive and remain when I come, grace upon grace is going to be upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus' name that we are living in the days of Noah right now. I tell you, I truly believe that we are very, very close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it was in the days of Noah, we're going to walk with grace upon our lives in Jesus' name. We're going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Glory to God. God is going to cause a generation to rise up that are going to welcome his coming. Glory to God. Well, I tell you something, I'm excited about that. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that something big is going to happen. But we've got to keep growing in grace. He said, well, yeah, I've received grace when I got saved. Yeah, but how long ago was that? I mean, you got to grow in grace. Grace is not just for salvation and knowing that you're a child of God. Grace is for living. Grace is for being everything that God wants us to be. I tell you, the enemy's just trying to weigh down the righteous, whereby we forget that we have received the abundance of grace. Grace upon grace. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that over these next couple of days and over these next weeks and months, we're going to get a revelation of what it means. God pouring out upon us his grace upon grace. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God wants us to grow in grace. I read a story recently, and not a story, a testimony. It just blew me away. Timothy Paul Jones, an author, a Christian leader, tells the story of taking his adopted daughter to Disney World. I want to tell you the story. He said, I never dreamed that taking a child to Disney World could be so difficult, or that such a trip could teach me so much about God's outrageous grace. Our middle daughter had been previously adopted by another family. I'm sure this couple had the best of intentions, Timothy says, but they never quite integrated the adopted child into their family of biological children. After a couple of rough years, they dissolved the adoption, and we ended up welcoming an 8-year-old girl into our home. For one reason or another, whenever our daughter's previous family vacationed at Disney World, they took their biological children with them, but they left their adopted daughter with a family friend. Usually, at least in the child's mind, this happened because she did something wrong that precluded her presence on the trip. And so by the time, Timothy says, by the time we adopted our daughter, she had seen many pictures of Disney World, and she had heard about the rides and the characters and the parades. But when it came to passing through the gates of the Magic Kingdom, she had always been the one left on the outside. Once I found out about this history, I made plans, Timothy said, to take her to Disney World the next time a speaking engagement took our family to southeastern United States. I thought I had mastered the Disney World drill. I knew from previous experiences that the prospect of seeing cast members in freakishly oversized mouse and duck costumes somehow turns children into squirming bundles of emotional instability. But I didn't expect was that the prospect of visiting this dream world would produce a stream of downright devilish behavior in our newest daughter. In the month leading up to the trip to Magic Kingdom, she stole food when a simple request would have gained her snack. She lied when it would have been easier to tell the truth. She whispered insults that were carefully crafted to hurt her older sister as deeply as possible. And as the days on the calendar moved closer to the trip, her mutinies multiplied. A couple of days before our family headed to Florida, I pulled our daughter into my lap to talk through her latest escapade. "I know what you're doing," she stated flatly. "You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you?" The thought hadn't actually crossed my mind. But her downward spiral suddenly started to make some sense. She knew she couldn't. She knew she couldn't earn her way to Magic Kingdom. She had tried and failed that test several times before. So she was living in a way that placed her as far as possible from the most magical place on the earth. In retrospect, I'm embarrassed to admit that in that moment, I was tempted to turn her fear to my own advantage. The easiest response would have been, "If you don't start behaving better, you're right, we won't take you." But by God's grace, I didn't. Instead, I asked her, "Is this trip something we're doing as a family?" She nodded, brown eyes wide and tear-rimmed. "Are you part of this family?" She nodded again. "Then you're going with us." "Sure, there will be consequences to help you remember what's right and what's wrong. But you're part of our family, and we're not leaving you behind." I'd like to say that her behaviors grew better after that moment. They didn't. Her choices pretty much spiraled out of control at every hotel, rest stop, all the way to Lake Bonavista. Still, we headed to Disney World on the day we had promised. And it was a typical Disney day. Overpriced tickets, overpriced meals, lots of lines, mingled with just enough manufactured magic to consider maybe going again someday. In our hotel room that evening, a very different child emerged. She was exhausted, pensive, a little weepy at times. But her month-long facade of rebellion had faded. When bedtime rolled around, I prayed with her and I held her and I asked her, "So how was your first day at Disney World?" She closed her eyes and snuggled down into her stuffed unicorn. After a few moments, she opened her eyes ever so slightly. "Daddy," she said, "I finally got to go to Disney World. But it wasn't because I was good. It's because I am yours." And I read that this afternoon. I went out of control. My wife and I have gone through some difficulties just in the last month or so. You know, you're building your home and you find out there's liens on it. You find out all the builders, you know, overextended himself. This is our dream home. This is what we worked hard for. And, you know, Bob, I would say just what you would say. I say, "This is going to be our last house, and when they take me out of here, it's feet first." It's amazing, you know, that I learned from this little story that I have a default. Whenever things, so I'm going to be honest with you now. You wouldn't have any of these problems. You just look too righteous to me. It's just me. Okay. So whatever you can get out of it, take it. My default is that when everything goes wrong, I begin to dig and think in my mind, maybe I did something wrong, or maybe there's something I'm not doing right. Or I realized through this whole process, I have a default. I could tell you hundreds of stories. When one time I thought, maybe Christine isn't tithing. Do you remember when I called you? I don't know wherever I was ministering somewhere, and I called you and I said, "Baby, don't get upset with me, but I just need to ask you, are you tithing?" "Well, of course I'm tithing." Because she takes care of the money because she's got the brains, eh? And it seems foolish, doesn't it? Except for when things are going wrong, you begin to think, I must have done something wrong. And with this house thing, I didn't tell you, honey, until just a couple of days ago, right? This thought came to my mind. You know why this has happened? Because you never asked his opinion about you buying that property and building that house where it is. Now, I tell you, that went so deep inside of me that I tell you, it happened when I was driving the car, and I just cried out to God and said, "Please, I'm sorry." Then, just a few days ago, we got together with pastoral friends of ours. And we were just sitting there talking, out of the communication, just having fellowship. They said, "The pastor's wife reminded me when She gave us a word. When we were in PEI. And she didn't know in the natural that we were even thinking about buying this piece of property. And she said, the Lord has a home for you on the water in a very peaceful place. And he wants you to have it. And after, we didn't say anything to her. We didn't tell her that what we were thinking about. And I said, Christine, have you ever heard anything like that? Of course, we probably did. But I remember saying it to you that. And he reminded me. That was my idea first. It wasn't your idea first. But see, I have a default. When things go wrong, there's something I'm doing. And that's a lie. Oh, there's been times I have. But nothing went wrong. Because he's such a loving father. I tell you, the devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. He do everything he possibly can to disrupt and discourage. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, this afternoon I just said, God, I'm believing that by the power of your grace, I'm going to have a new default. Glory to God. When trouble comes, I'm going to begin to thank you. I'm going to begin to praise you. I'm not going to allow my mind to go wild and think thoughts that are imaginations that aren't even true. I'm going to stay in your word. I'm going to get a new default by your grace. So I'm declaring in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that there's a new default for this house. After 25 years of service, I declare a new default. I declare an outpouring of the Spirit of God and a harvest of souls that you've never seen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm believing that by the power of God, that God is going to do amazing things in the name of Jesus as the people pull together and stand together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God, by his grace, is about to do great things in Canada in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just here in Port Newcastle or Newcastle, I don't know which it is. I see Port and I see Newcastle and whatever it is. All I know is God's up to something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether it be Ottawa or Halifax or come by chance Newfoundland, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is about to do something big in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare grace upon grace. Hey, come on, say it again. Grace upon grace. Woo! Our new default comes from grace. Woo! How many want a grace default? Hallelujah. Ramasi, sick and tired of being sick and tired in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Striving and doing everything we can to do right, and nothing changes, because it's not going to be our doing that's going to make it. It's going to be his grace, because if it's not by his grace, he doesn't get the glory. So I tell you what, in the name of Jesus, on your 25th anniversary, is it Sunday? Wednesday. Well, I guess that's the way it goes, the leap years and unleap years and everything else. By the declare, in the name of Jesus, things are going to get easier. I'm not saying there's not going to be difficulty. I'm not saying there's not going to be challenges. I'm not saying that the enemy's just going to give you a break. He's not going to give you a break. He's going to do everything he can to break you. But I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace is enough. He told Paul, glory to God. He basically said, stop whining in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, when you are weak, you're strong. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient. Glory to God. I said, my grace is sufficient in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you got nothing else, you've got grace. And when you got grace, you got everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to dream dreams of grace. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. I declare that Joseph dreamed dreams of grace. And dreams of grace can never be disannulled. God. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that while you are sleeping, the grace of God within you, the grace of God upon you, is going to cause you to no longer have those nightmares, no longer have those dreams that trouble you. God wants you to dream good dreams. That's what happens when the grace of God comes upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're wondering when are you going to succeed on your job? When is things going to break through in my work? I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to do everything I can. But it just doesn't seem, nothing goes my way. But I'm telling you, if you stay in grace, grace will take over. And suddenly, your employer is going to see the grace of God upon you, and success and advancement is going to come. I don't know who that is, but I'm declaring in the name of Jesus, things are about to turn around for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unusual things are about to happen because of the grace of God in Jesus' name. So let's take this celebration. And let's not make it about us. Now go ahead and celebrate. Yeah, give yourself. Make you feel good and have all the cozies and everything else. But when you get all over it, and understand this, it's not about you. It's about Him. And His grace is going to be released upon your life. In an unusual way. An unusual way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unusual things. You say, John, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. I think God had me look up the significance of 25. I don't even like numerology. But I like that. Glory to God. I like grace. Thank you, Jesus. I think that He put it in my heart to find that story this afternoon. And it wasn't just for me, but it was for me. I didn't cry in despair. I cried because it was Jesus. Glory to God. Because I could just feel His grace, sense His grace. I could just feel like my shoulders are being put back. In the name of Jesus, and everything's going to be all right. We're going to get this through in Jesus' name. And we're getting ready for everything that God has because they say we're retired. I didn't say I'm retired. I'm just saying that I'm done pastoring Peace Tower Church and gave over to the next generation. Glory to God, and things are happening. But as for me, I'm going to go from grace to grace. Now, I know I'm not as young as I was when I spent 5 years in Newfoundland and every outpost and community and everything. No, I'm not that young man. I haven't got that much energy. I'm just going to tell you, but I got the same Holy Ghost. Right, so do you. And I'm telling you, revival is coming to Canada. And I know that we are right now in the times of Noah And in the time of Noah is when you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. The worship team can come. Father, I just want to thank you for this team. I sense a release. I truly do, Lord. I watch in the face of people. I could just see that things are happening in the innermost man. That which we cannot see. But their face is an expression of it. Father, I just see glory on people in this room in Jesus' name. I declare that even tonight, that as you lie upon your bed and as you sleep in peace, in the name of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Spirit of grace is going to come upon you. I'd like to pray with some people here. I want you to take the hand of the person beside you in the name of Jesus and just begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray one for another. Just go ahead there, my brother, and you just ramosikete. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my. Oh my, there it is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Robo Rabakitia. Mitiaba. Ruti kibete. Mura bahasika mahasikatea. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that weights are lifting. Weight of heaviness is lifting off people. Thank you. Just come on, pray one for another. Come on, be passionate about this. Your brother, your sister, whose hands you hold, needs a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. Go ahead, pray with her, because the Spirit of God is all over you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Rabba. Nidiada the Mohosike Bekeshia Kamande. Mitiara Mohosike Behesia. Rite. Mitiara the Bokura Batiaka. Rishiakia. Rutia Bakunia Mahande. Hisiara Buriake Hete Moate. Rikiare Mahasura De. Hike Abohoki. Rider Baha. Rudukuye, Hukukeya, Siaka, Ruchakama, Rimiteriata, Rusurabatia, Rabatea, Rinda, you are not forgotten. You are not forgotten. Woo! You are not forgotten. Rinda Sikate, and God is not forgotten, His promise to you. Rinda Sikate, stop striving.
Thank you. Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me, and all my days have been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will see the goodness.
Doesn't it? So, you know, I don't think that it's such a big thing. You know, I don't feel Holy Spirit saying, everybody run to the altar, but I feel Holy Spirit saying, respond. So for you, if that's taking your hand, putting it on your heart, and saying, that's me, God. Grace. I need your grace. I'm going through some difficult things right now. There's some opposition. There's some yucky things that have happened in my life. And I need your grace. I need your grace, God. Put your hand, take your hand right now. Put it on your heart. And say, Father God, tonight I come to you. And I ask for your grace, Lord. I ask for your grace in this situation. I ask for your grace, Lord, to come upon my life and on this situation right now. Grace. Shout it out. Grace. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And then take time. Receive and thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grace. Hallelujah.
And Pastor John is continuing to minister. If you at all doubt the significance of this word, or you think like it's just whatever, right? It's a 25th anniversary, so he looked at some numbers. I love every one of my board members, and each of them have a special place in my heart for very different reasons. We lost a board member this year. She held a special place with all of us, and she lived in the area, and her circumstances changed, and so she sold her house and she moved to the East Coast. And she's very prophetically gifted, and I talked to her. It would have been January I asked her to do this, and I said, Sharon, would you please take some time and pray about the anniversary service and see what God would speak to you about what he wants to do this weekend? And so she took probably about a month or so, and she prayed about it. And then I got an email, and maybe I'll share it with you tomorrow. But I kid you not when I say that her email says, I looked at some numbers because I felt God lead me there. And the number 25, God says, is significant because it's grace upon grace, and he's going to pour out his grace upon grace upon grace in this place. I kid you not, the email is sitting in my computer, in my office, it's on my phone. And so if you have any level of apprehension or your faith needs stirred, he gave the same message to two different people for the same event to pour out his grace in this place. So I am going to encourage you to press in if you still would like to. The worship team is going to keep playing quietly for a little bit. And this is just going to be a place of prayer. And if you need to lean into that, you can do that here. If you want prayer, you can come to the front and we will be happy to pray with you. If you want to stay and mingle, you can move to the foyer or towards the back of the building, get some coffee, get some tea, hang out, catch up with some friends, old and make some new ones. But please just take some time and spend some time in his presence if you would. So Father, we thank you for the chance to celebrate. And God, tonight we just see you all over this. We sense your presence in this room. We've sensed you in our worship. We sensed you in the worship practice. We sensed you in the preparation up to this moment. And God, we know that even better things are yet to come. And so God, we stand in agreement that the best is yet to come, that over the course of the weekend and over the days and the weeks and months ahead, as your word is made real in our lives, the best is yet to come, God. We will stand in your promises, we'll stand in your truth, and we will declare it with faithfulness. We will proclaim it loudly, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, in and through our lives and over our lives. God, we thank you for what you have done in this place tonight, and we say, great are you, Lord. God, would you keep us safe till we get back together tomorrow? God, would you continue to work in our hearts? Would you continue to secure your word in our lives? We love you so much. We are so thankful for what you are doing in our midst. Lord, have your way in this place, we pray.